Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Brain Builders Podcast. This is your host, Dr. John DeWitt. And today we are going to talk about inflammation and how that relates to cognitive dysfunction later in life. It can be from concussions when you were a kid or from accidents you may have had. It can be from Alzheimer's. It can be from a variety of different things. These are the things that actually lead to cognitive decline in Alzheimer's. So inflammation is something that is, Dr. Bredesen calls it type 1 Alzheimer's. It's caused by chronic inflammation. And that's something that we deal with every day in the office. People, it's just sad because Americans are just so sedentary and they sit in a cubicle most of the time. They don't really eat the proper foods. They eat whatever's easy for them, fast foods, lots of sugar and salt and things like that. And it's really interesting because back when I was in chiropractic college, I decided to see what this whole green drink thing was all about. And so I got a green drink from Tony Robbins and just drank that and would eat carrots and cucumbers. I did that and I was a little lightheaded and a little out of it for the first week. But then a month or so into that, first of all, I lost a lot of weight. Second of all, I had a ridiculous amount of energy. And it was one of those things where it was energy that it wasn't just like a shot of espresso where you have a whole lot of energy and then you get tired afterwards. I always felt like there was a reserve of energy accessible to me. So that's one of the things that's really important is you don't want to have a lot of inflammation because that can really cause you to get into a vicious cycle where you're just always drinking coffee and caffeine and things like that, and that's not good. So here's what Dr. Bredesen speaks about in inflammation in his book, The End of Alzheimer's. Now, before I get to that, I do want to say that we still are taking registrations for the masterclass, which is going to be September 7th. That is the Brain Builders Masterclass. It is the beta group. So this is something that I'm going to charge money for in the future. But since it's the first group, you're going to get access for free. And all attendees also get, and it's online, all attendees also get a free cognitive assessment from the Cambridge Brain Sciences Institute, which is very exciting to get a baseline to see where you are. And then it's a six-week program. It's going to be every Friday. And it's going to be every Friday at 6 p.m. I have decided on the time so people can get there a specific time, by the way. And so you can get there and access all that. You can register at bit.ly/brainbuilders, all one word with an S at the end. And there's no .com or anything like that. Okay, so that's out of the way. So inflammation is one of the most important drivers of cognitive decline, and it feeds directly into the Alzheimer's disease mechanisms. Resolving inflammation is therefore critical to reversing cognitive decline. Once you have your lab tests that we've talked about in earlier podcasts, once you have your lab tests and they've determined why inflammation is present, we recommend a three-pronged approach to reducing it. My dog's in the background. I apologize. So, number one of the three-pronged approach, the first prong, resolve the inflammation. Big surprise. An effective way to do this is by taking supplements called specialized pro-resolving mediators, or SPMs, such as in a product called SPM Active. SPMs with names like resolvins, protectins, and maricins are produced by the body at the site of inflammation and act as resolution agonists. So helping the immune response complete its response to infection or other inflammation-triggering threats and returns to the baseline healthy, non-inflammatory state. Now, if the body's not doing this on its own, SPM Active can provide the missing resolution agonists. You can take 2 to 6 capsules per day for 1 month. Now, during this time, it's important to remove the underlying cause of the inflammation, this is big now, such as poor dietary habits and chronic infections. Now, it's very simple to change your diet. It's not easy, but it's simple. And deep down, you know what you're supposed to eat, what you're not supposed to eat. So if I'm speaking to you on this one. Be aware that it's not going to be easy, but it's simple to do. You just have to decide that you're going to do it. The second of the three-pronged approach is to inhibit new inflammation. So anti-inflammatory such as omega-3 and curcumin, notice we didn't mention anything about drugs, just omega-3s and curcumin, they help prevent new inflammation. So we're resolving the old inflammation and we're preventing new inflammation. Recommend 1 gram daily of the omega-3 DHA, which is docosahexaenoic acid, from fish oil or krill or algae, and the same amount of curcumin, either on an empty stomach or with fats. Now, there are many other anti-inflammatories, such as ginger. Ginger actually also helps with digestive problems, by the way, which is very important. Cinnamon, that's another really good one. And cinnamon is good for blood sugar regulation, and he talks about that a lot in the book. We have pregnenolone, which is a hormone. This is really, really good. It's like the mother of all hormones. All of them basically come from that. Cloves are very good. Thyme, as well as anti-inflammatory foods, such as green leafy vegetables, beets, and broccoli. Beets are also very high in boron, which is good to decalcify the pineal gland, which I'm going to talk about in the masterclass at some point, because that's known as your third eye, the pineal gland or pineal gland, however you want to pronounce it. And it's not a weird, you're going to see ghosts and stuff like that kind of thing, but what it does is it actually helps you to see more connections in things that you are going on in life. You'll notice things more that happen more consistently. And it's just really interesting, and I have a really couple of great stories with that. So anyway, you want the green leafy vegetables, the beets, and the broccoli. Now, the RECODE protocol does not include non-steroidal anti-inflammatories such as ibuprofen, and that's like Advil and things like that, because they can damage the gut and the kidneys. Something else that they do is they block proteoglycan production, which is one of the building blocks for cartilage. So it actually prevents, if you have arthritic joints, it prevents you from being able to heal that. It just blocks the pain, but it's actually causing or preventing you from actually healing the way you're supposed to. And the third of the three-pronged approach is you want to remove all inflammatory sources. Now, it isn't much good to treat inflammation if you also keep triggering it, so it's critical to prevent exposure to inflammagens or things that cause inflammation. There may be more than one source, including leaky gut, which there is a test for, a diet high in either simple carbohydrates or trans fats, those are obviously bad, and chronic infections such as from Lyme disease, viruses such as herpes simplex, or mold such as Aspergillus or Penicillium. Poor oral hygiene, very important. Poor oral hygiene can also cause chronic inflammation. And we talked about this earlier because oral bacteria, such as P. gingivalis, which causes gingivitis or inflammation of the gums, has been found in the brains of Alzheimer's patients. So yet another reason to take care of your teeth. Keep those teeth clean and don't be doing anything or skipping brushing and flossing and all that stuff. So another really good thing you can do for dental health is oil pulling. So oil pulling is a great way. It actually helps use coconut oil. You can just use about a tablespoon or so, and you slosh it in around in your mouth for 3 to 5 minutes. And it really, those really healthy, the caprylic acid and those healthy medium-chain triglycerides in the coconut oil help to heal the mouth and even helps whiten teeth a little bit. So oil pulling, it's not fun at first. You're kind of like, oh, no big deal. But then after a few minutes, you're kind of like, oh, geez. And make sure that you don't swallow the oil once you're done with the oil pulling. You spit it out. So now, if your inflammatory markers remain high after removing these obvious potential contributors, then you should get a more complete evaluation. It should check for any autoantibodies, such as those that cause rheumatoid arthritis, chronic Lyme disease, other tick-borne infections, such as babesia or Bartonella, and other undiagnosed medical conditions. So inflammation is something that basically everyone in America that is on the American diet is going to have. And patients all the time come into the office and they're just like, I hurt all the time. This hurts, that hurts. I can't, I can't sleep. I have to sit up while I'm sleeping because I'm in so much pain. And one of the things that we tell them is when you have a system that is acidic, that's when it's going to be very inflamed, irritable, irritated, and we tell them to drink lots of water. Once again, it's not complicated, but it's not easy for some people. Add some lemon or orange or some citrus, grapefruit juice maybe, or just some, a little bit into your water if that's going to make it more palatable for you. And people talk about Kagan water, and they talk about the different types of Essentias and other alkaline water you can get at the store. And those are all good. Coconut water is really good because it actually does contain electrolytes as well. So it's a good way to stay hydrated. One of the ways to tell if you're dehydrated is you pinch the skin on the back of your hand, and it should snap back immediately. If that wrinkle stays elevated for more than a couple seconds, then that means that you're dehydrated and you need to drink more water. We recommend at least half your body weight in ounces of water every single day. So if you, for example, if you weighed 200 pounds, you want to drink 100 ounces, which is about 3 liters of water every day. And the alkaline water is better because it helps. I mean, I personally like the coconut water the best because it has the electrolytes, and so you're getting the electrolytes, which are important for function of the body. But also, the alkaline water is good just because it's lowering your acidity in your system. One of the things, too, that's interesting is when you have a lot of anxiety, a lot of pain, it's going to cause you to have any kind of chronic issue. It's going to cause you to have a sympathetic dominant state. So you've got the autonomic nervous system, you've got the parasympathetic and the sympathetic. The parasympathetic is for resting and digesting and rebuilding. And the sympathetic is the fight or flight. That's what you feel when you're stressed out and you feel like it's there for if there's a tiger chasing you. It's like, oh, you got to be ready and have that burst of adrenaline. The problem is so many Americans are in a chronic sympathetic dominant state that they have high levels of cortisol and they're just more acidic because they're just stressed out of their minds. And we can't allow that to happen. That's something else that we're going to talk about in the masterclass starting on September 7th, is different ways to decompress from your day, whether it be, like we spoke about in previous episodes, the diaphragmatic breathing to make sure you're using all of your lung tissue. You want to get as much of the surface area of the lungs utilized to optimize your oxygen intake. And that's going to help you relax. If it's going to be through meditative, there's all kinds of videos on YouTube where you can listen to different tones. It's also part of the pineal gland decalcification program that we're going to talk about. Different vibrations are supposed to really help to break up and loosen up some of the calcium that's built up in the pineal gland that's there from the poor food choices that we have in America, unfortunately. But those are all things that you can do, and meditation. If you want to do yoga, yoga's good. Hot yoga can be a little excessive because you're sweating so much that that's going to dehydrate you, and that's going to cause more inflammation if you're dehydrated. So if you're going to be doing hot yoga, it's good because you're sweating and detoxing the system, but you're also getting dehydrated. So you have to make sure the fluids that you sweat out, you replace with more water. And just keep in mind, if you're drinking like coffee that has high caffeine or even tea, that actually, for every cup of coffee, you have to drink 2 cups of water to help balance out because the caffeine is dehydrating as well. So, like I said, as we get deeper into this, it gets a little more complicated, but it's just a matter of coming up with a plan and sticking with the plan. And, I mean, if you fall off plan and say, oh, my gosh, you went out and you had a, Starbucks or whatever, and you start to feel this and this, just increase your water and you'll be fine. Okay? So that is inflammation. Very excited to help with that. And we also look forward to hearing you or being with you on the next episode. We're going to talk about healing the gut. All right. Have a phenomenal day.